So on our little vacation, we had this opportunity to visit a little area that had some alligators in it, and I was very grateful that they had a fence, because some of them, even though they weren't that large, they looked like they wanted to come and get me. And they look prehistoric, but they got these little creepy eyes that like close on, and then they open up, and there's these little slits looking at you. It's like, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm thinking you want to eat me. And that's what I'm thinking. But I was really grateful there was a boundary around that, because we can kind of peer in it. And I would try to like sneak my fingers in the cage. Otter would be like, stop that, Mark. I was like, he's not going to get me. I just want to make friends with him. And I don't know why I do those things, but I stress Otter out. But I was thankful for a boundary. And I was thinking about this as it relates to freedom, and I was thinking about this series that we're on, and realizing that sometimes when we think about freedom, we think about no boundaries, right? Freedom is no boundaries, no limits. And yet we used words like, just be yourself, follow your heart. You can be anything you want to be. And we kind of like dream these dreams of like no limits, no boundaries. But we realize that the scripture tells us in the end days, that's actually the way it's going to be. That people will be lovers of themselves, and they will have this place of lawlessness, and they'll just think like anything's possible and there's no boundaries. But do you realize the greatest freedom that you can have is understanding the appropriate boundaries? That God has established boundaries for us to live in. And when we can understand where those boundaries are, that actually gives us freedom. So today, I'm going to be talking about freedom's boundaries. And we're going to look at, actually, as the children of Israel came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and now, just probably 3 months later, they say 3 moons, God speaks to Moses on Mount Sinai and gives them the Ten Commandments. Interestingly, we used to really value the Ten Commandments in our society. We would put it in our schools and our courthouses, and over time, those have been taken away, and I don't even know, could we all remember what the Ten Commandments are? Otter and I were doing this little exercise together. Okay, can you remember all the Ten Commandments we're going through? And actually, we couldn't actually remember the order of the Ten Commandments. And so we thought, well, maybe we need to go revisit what the Ten Commandments were all about and why God established them. But you know, it's interesting that as we look into a society that becomes continually self-centered, we were at an environment, or I guess it was a little show that, it was interesting, we vacationed, we didn't realize where we vacationed. My parents were going to vacation the exact same place, the exact same time. It was really nice, actually. But they treated us to a show one night, and it was interesting that we went to this show, but the person sitting right in front of us was so into themselves and their selfie that they were sitting right in front of us, and she turned around to catch the show behind us and put her phone almost in my face so she could get a picture of herself, and she was like completely not even aware that I was like, you just got in my personal bubble, not even my personal bubble, you're in my face. And she just needed to keep going, oh, it wasn't the right one, so back in my face it goes, I got to get a better one. But I'm just realizing that our society today is just so self-centered. And not only is it, we feel like there's no boundaries, it feels like everything's revolving around themselves. You just have to go into an airport and you realize how much people do not care about anybody else around them. They will blow you over, they will knock you over, they'll push their way in, because for some reason our world today is, it's me, self-centered, and it's about us. And what it does is it takes away these ideas of we're meant to be together, we're meant to be in a relationship, and the boundaries that God has established was just that. Boundaries for us to have right relationship with God and with each other. Boundaries are actually to preserve relationship. Boundaries are actually the limits that God has established was really to establish right relationship. We have the very first boundary that God gave us. And believe me, if you go into the Ten Commandments, why did God only give us 10? I'm not sure. But later in Deuteronomy and Leviticus, it then goes into all these other ones and these other layers. And so much so that when Jesus comes onto the scene, he begins to say, guys, you are like putting so much burden on each other by all these laws that you're trying to keep. But do you realize it's not about the law? There's something else. There's a law that is to be written on somebody's heart that Jesus tells us about. And we'll get to that in a minute. But the very first boundary that we know is in the Garden of Eden, where God said, you can have everything you want in this garden except this one boundary, this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You cannot eat from this tree. He puts limits on it, and it's interesting. He only gave one instruction, one limit, which I think is interesting. And that one limit had everything to do with a right relationship with God and with each other. And because in that moment when Adam and Eve were deceived by the serpent, by Satan, and took a bite of that fruit, they realized that they broke a relationship with God, and shame came upon them, and they were now hiding from God. And this is what limits do for us. Limits preserve relationships. If you're taking notes, that might be a good one to take, that might be a good thing to write down, that limits preserve relationships. The key, though, then, is to understand what limits should we be living by. And God, quickly after the children of Israel flee out of Egypt, they're under that rule, God establishes a new set of rules for them to live by, the Ten Commandments. If you have your Bibles, you'll turn with me there. We're in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to go through these together. And is there anybody who has, well, we'll get there. Okay, don't rush, Mark. There's some really good things here. I was just getting excited there for a moment. All right, just calm down. Is that self-talk? I was just talking to myself. Don't worry about it. All right. I maybe have been on vacation way too long, actually. I apologize. All right, chapter 20 of Exodus. And God spoke to them, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For the Lord your God, I am jealous. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commands. So here's commandment number one, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. God, from the very first beginning of time, wanted to be a provider, a caretaker, to be in a relationship. And so this idea of this is not God being egotistic, like I need to be the one. He just saying, the right relationship in the right place is going to provide freedom for you. And when you turn to me, I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your caretaker. I'm going to be the one who guides you and nurtures you and heals you. I want to be your God. I want to be the one that you look to. And so he's saying, yes, have no other gods, but when you make other gods in your life, and this interesting graven image, we often think of statues, right? We often think of, but could anything fashioned by hand could become an idol? Is your car an idol? Can a car be an idol? Can your house be an idol? Can any possession that you have be an idol? Anything is, can your desire for sports, could that be an idol? Could it be a god? Anything that takes the place of who's number one in your life can become an idol. Number two, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what does that mean? God is just saying that his name is holy. It is to be revered. There is something in his name. And so when you casually or carelessly, OMG, when you basically are not, you use God's name, but not in the appropriate way, like you're talking to God, then you're taking his name in vain. You're being careless with it, and you're not revering it to the way that God is saying. It's like coming up to somebody and just saying, "Hey, Noah, you know," and I'm not talking to Noah anymore. It's like, "I just want to be a Noah today. Like, Noah this, Noah that." And like, Noah's like, "I'm right here. Like, do you want to talk to me? Because I'd really like to talk. I have a relationship with you. But why are you throwing my name around when you're not even addressing me? Like, oh my, Noah. Hi, Noah. How you doing today? You doing all right?" Great name, by the way. Okay, number 3. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all of your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Do you guys remember there was a law called the blue light laws? Is that right? Is that the right term? Oh, blue law. Blue light. Blue law. Maybe they had blue lights in the windows. I don't know. I think that was before my time. I think it was with my time. I don't remember the time. But I do recall it. Because my family had a chain of clothing retail stores that they were closed on Sundays. And actually, there were laws that prevented you from being open. I think there was a few things that could be open on a Sunday. And it's interesting, we then started to realize productivity was important. We realized that we need to capitalize on, we need to monetize something. And if somebody's off, maybe there's become better shopping days. And then we realized, well, we can justify it because not everybody's working 7 days. But I guess the question I would ask you is, have you considered what the Sabbath is in your life recently? Have you considered what it means that we are to work 6 days and the 7th day we're to keep it holy, to keep it separate, to keep it set apart for God? Not just to say, we're not going to do any work, but it's actually to not do any work because we're realizing that God, who is our provider, will provide enough for us in 6 days. I've never actually done the research on this. There might be some studies, but I would be interested in finding out that, find a person who works 7 days a week and a person who works 6 days a week and keeps the 7th as a Sabbath, who gets further ahead in their finances or in their life. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some spiritual law in there that's built into this to saying, would you trust me? It's like tithing, right? God says, you know, all I'm asking is 10% and you can have 90% of it. But the people who try to live on, take 100%, don't give to God, actually have less than those who can live on 90% and give 10% to God. They just fear, the math never seems to work out on paper, but always works out in the kingdom way. There's just something that takes place that God is just saying he wants a Sabbath to keep it holy. And here's the thing, it's not, the Sabbath isn't for per se for God. The Sabbath is for us. That God is saying, I want to bless you on this day, that we would spend time together, that there you wouldn't have to work, that you can find rest on the Sabbath day. Then here we go. Young people in the room, parents are going to love this one. Honor your father and mother. Now, here's the thing, kids. And by the way, even if we have parents, even if we are older and we still have parents that are alive, we still should be honoring them. It's not just young kids. I think maybe because I had younger kids in my mind always went to like, kids, honor your mom and dad. I love this one because I tell them this one. This is the only commandment that comes with a blessing. Kids, I want you to be blessed. Because this is what it says. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. I said, kids, you want to live a long life? Honor mom and dad. It's a promise actually in here. It's a promise. But have you thought about that recently? Have you thought about how you are caring for an aging parent? Have you thought about how your young moms and dads, are you listening to them? Are you honoring them? Are you being obedient to them? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. Then he goes on to these ones. You should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then he ends with this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or his beautiful car in his driveway or that house that you just long for. It's not like your house. Coveting. Before we covet, though, is so we have the first four commandments. Well, actually, the first three, and it really had to do with, remember if we said that freedom's limits, freedom's boundaries are really about a relationship? That when we look about limits and we look about freedom, that we find true freedom when we find peace in our relationships, when we have peace with God, when we have peace with each other. And here's what he's saying is we want to have peace with God and we want to have right relationship with him, then don't put any other gods before him. Have a right relationship. Don't use his name casually and and in vain. Keep a Sabbath. Remember to keep this connection with God in a way that he wants to be your provider, that he wants to give you rest. And you come to whether Sabbath is your Sunday, for some it's not. Some you have to use a Sabbath another time. But you're coming into this place of saying, I want to keep it separate. That's what holiness is. It's separate. I want to make it special. I want to realize that as Pastor Richie said, and there's something about just spending time with your family in the presence of Jesus. And so today we get to be in this bigger family in the presence of Jesus, and it's so special. And this is a holy time. This is a Sabbath time. This is a restful time because we can be in right relationship with him. Then he goes on to these things that we then start saying, kids, you want to be at peace with your parents? You want to be in right relationship with your parents? Honor them. It means you're going to have this long life. Honor them. And then these other ones, you should not murder, commit adultery, you should not steal, bear false witness, lie. Those ones have to do about your relationship with each other. And if you want to have peace, if you want to have freedom in your life where you just kind of wake up in the morning, it's like, I'm at peace. I feel this level of freedom in my life to live without the anxiety that comes with these broken relationships, murder, stealing. It is interesting that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and murders in them, but Moses was a murderer. He killed one of the Egyptians. And he realized that the turmoil that it caused Moses by his act, he broke relationship. When you steal, when you lie. And then the very last one, the coveting one, is interesting because he really is there. He's talking about the things that go on the internal, right? The internal narrative of guarding your heart. I love this scripture that is in the script. Scripture that's in the scripture. Guard your heart above all else because in it is the wellspring of life. Freedom comes from your heart. That's why Jesus said he wants to write the law on our heart. He wants us to be in right relationship. He wants us to experience this level of freedom with limits and boundaries. And is learning how to understand what these boundaries are. But see, the Old Testament, they were not in relationship with God. And I believe why the Ten Commandments? I think God says, here's a good starting place for you. I want you to be in right relationship with me and right relationship with each other. Now, Jesus says, he comes down later on and talks about, okay, we had the very first boundary, which is the tree. We come into Ten Commandments that turn into hundreds of laws. And then Jesus comes on the scene, who is the Son of God. And he says, the law should be written on our heart. And he sums up, he goes, all the laws of the prophets are summed up in these two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Really what he's doing, he's taking the Ten Commandments, he's taking all the other laws, and he's saying, I'm establishing a new covenant and remembering it's not about an external do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship that I want you to have with my Father in heaven, and a right relationship that we live in community together. To find harmony, to find peace. And I tell you, when you have committed one of these, you know, things that are seen in the Ten Commandments, when you've sinned against God or another person, you know how it takes away your freedom. You don't sleep at night. You toss and you turn. You have anxiety. You get anxious. You feel discontent and disconnected. A broken relationship with God or with others. But that's why God is just saying, and Jesus is saying, it's really quite simple. Let's not focus on all the laws, but let's focus on what's in the heart. Let's focus on relationship. Not a bunch of do's and don'ts, but let's focus on a relationship. So this week, here's what I want to challenge you with. Maybe write down the Ten Commandments. Might be a great refresher. You just do a Google search, Ten Commandments. Just make sure you back it up with scripture. I don't trust a Google search because you never know what happens in digital land. But get your Bibles, crack it open, but find out where it is first, and then get your Bible, crack it open. Write down the Ten Commandments. Put the first three, first four, like my relationship with God. How am I doing in idolatry? What has taken place in my life? A what, a who, an image, an object. What has taken a greater place in your life than your relationship with God? Assess that, write it down. Then talk about, you know, thinking about the times that you might casually use God's name, but it's not, you're not talking to God. You're just throwing around God's name just because it's a habit or just because it's, you know, what people do. Think about a Sabbath. Think about this day set apart that you're not going to work, that you're going to enjoy family, you're going to enjoy your relationship with God, you're going to enjoy your church family, that you're going to just set it apart and make it holy as unto the Lord. And remember, holy is not like you don't have to go do a bunch of, I don't know what holy means to you, but holy just really means set apart. That you're going to make it special, different than every other day. You're going to make it different than every other day. And just consider that with me. And that establishes your relationship with God. And not make it about do's and don'ts, but about saying, God, how is my relationship with you? Because those boundaries that God has placed actually relates to our freedom. Next, you're going to be talking about, okay, how well are you honoring your parents or a parent? Doesn't matter what age you are. If you have a parent that's still alive, then you need to be thinking about, okay, what does honor look like? How do I respect them? How do I care for them well? How do I let them know they're important? How do I listen to them? How do I, for young children, obey your parents? Then this idea of, by the way, some of you might say, well, I'm okay on that one, murder. I haven't committed murder, okay. Adultery, maybe not today. Okay, I'm good on that one. Should not steal, all right. I'm just very aware that there are some people in this room that have committed adultery. But here's the interesting thing. Some of you might just like, I'm off the hook on that one. But you know what? Here's the interesting thing. When Jesus comes onto the scene, he says, if you have lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. He challenges us into a much deeper way, and this is why he says he writes the law on our heart. And he's trying to say, can you inspect your relationships? If you have hate in your heart, you've like committed murder. What's going on in your heart and your relationships? What's going on in your heart and your relationships? Not only your family relationships, but your extended relationships. And I'd really want to challenge and encourage you to begin to say, what is it going to take for me to create right relationships with people? Because your broken relationships are actually taking away your freedom. God wants to give you incredible freedom, where you wake up in the morning and say, it's so good to be alive. But there's boundaries that he's placed. Some boundaries he's wanting you just keep out, like the alligator pen. I'm glad there was a boundary there. But there's other boundaries he's saying that I want you to live in that boundary. I want you to live in faithfulness to your spouse. I want you to live within faithfulness to God, to have no other gods before me. I want you to live within that boundary and not take on the culture which says, I can do anything, I can be anything. You know, we have gang robberies today that it's like, you know, people feel entitled to go into a store and pillage a store because they just feel like, if I want it, I'm going to take it. But freedom is being eroded away. All right, let me just see if I have any other good thoughts I want to share with you here today. Yeah, I wrote this down. I feel like this is a good little thing for the notes. Freedom is not the absence of constraints, but living within the right constraints. And I think sometimes that's the work that needs to be done, is to understand what are the right boundaries, what are the right constraints that we need to put around ourselves. And Jesus tells us that the law we are to follow, that he wants to have written on our heart, is the law of love. And if you're thinking about the constraints that he wants, right relationship with God in the Ten Commandments, right relationship with each other, what's going on in your heart, they would say, is it judgment or is it love? Am I pursuing a right relationship, or am I putting boundaries? Now, again, I want to let you know, boundaries, sometimes in abusive situations, it's important to have boundaries. It's important to say, I need to pray for my enemy. It's important to say, you know what, I'm not going to continue to take abuse. But you have to watch your heart. You have to understand what's going on in your heart. Is hate and bitterness? Because that's going to rob your freedom. It's going to rob your ability to be in right relationship with God and with others. The Ten Commandments that God gave Moses to give the children of Israel went on Mount Sinai. I think it's phenomenal that God actually met him on that mountain. But he gave him only 10. I think he needed to keep it basic for people. I think he needed to help us to understand that if you just keep right relationship with God and right relationship with each other, life's going to be okay. You're going to be at peace. You're going to find freedom by living that way. So freedom is not the absence of constraints, but living with the right constraints. The world will tell you that you don't have to follow any rules. You can be who you want to be. You can be whatever gender you want to be. You can be whatever you feel like you want to be. But living within the right constraints, in the right way, realizing that God wants to be our Father, and he wants us to be in unity and love one another with brotherly and sisterly love, will find freedom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just would ask that you would help us to see your great love for your creation, that you wanted to be in right relationship with us. Father, give us eyes to see what we have become, what has become idols in our life. Food, fitness, objects. And help us to reprioritize them, to say, I'll have no other gods before you, God. I want to be in right relationship with you. Father, I pray that we would consider what a Sabbath might look like, that we would make it special, that we would have it separate, that we would live that day honoring you in a different way. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand that we would not be so casual with your name, but we would revere your name as holy as our awesome Father in heaven. God, the one true God. Father, I pray that we would watch our hearts, even though we might not be murderers or adulterers or thieving or stealing or lying. Father, if we've got deception in our life, we know that breaks relationship with others. Father, we've got hate in our heart, we know it breaks relationships with others. Father, we've got lust in our heart, we know that that's breaking a relationship with others. It's like committing adultery. Father, you care about our relationships. We know that our relationships, lived in the right way with the right boundaries, produce freedom. Father, we pray that you guard our hearts against covetousness, that we would desire things that you haven't given us, Lord. You haven't given us those things. Let's be grateful for the things that you have given us and be content with those things, Father. Lord, in those moments, in those places, with those proper boundaries, with those proper limits, Father, we find freedom. For that, we're grateful. Lord, if there's anybody here today that would say, this is all great, but I don't even know who Jesus is. Scripture says if we believe, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, then we'd be saved. And simply this, for those of you who just want to whisper this under your breath, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I'm tired of doing it my way. I want you to be in my life to guide me, to grow me, to shape me, to help me find purpose. Jesus, I acknowledge what you did on the cross, that you forgave us of our sin and continue to forgive us of our sin. We know that sin breaks relationship with you, God, and with others. And so repentance allows us to reestablish a right relationship. So, Father, we just repent from our sin. I'm just going to pause here for a moment because I do feel like that's a key for some of you. You get this idea of freedom and you get this idea of living within limits. But if you don't move towards repentance, you're not going to experience the freedom because repentance restores a right relationship. Repentance tells somebody they're sorry. Repentance says, God, I know I've fallen short. I know that I've sinned against you. Repentance says, I've been holding bitterness in my heart too long and I want to release it. Bitterness. Or repentance says, I've been carrying lust in my heart and God, I know that's not right. I repent of that. And that repentance restores a right relationship, which restores our freedom. So Father, I pray that we would have the courage to repent today. And in a repentance, God, you are quick to forgive. For that, we're grateful. Let us also be ones to forgive people who have wronged us and that we can walk in that forgiveness as well and that freedom as well. So Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for this journey to freedom. And everybody said, amen. Thank you so much for watching us online. We're so glad that you joined us. We trust that Jesus has spoken to your heart and you've been challenged by his word. If you'd like to know more information about Grace Capital Church, please visit us at gccnh.com. We'll see you next time.